WCBC Sports. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC and brought to you by the Kensington Assisted Living on Baltimore Street in Cumberland and the Country House, specializing in Alzheimer's care on Cumberland Street in downtown Cumberland. Saturday Morning Quarterback hosts are Roxy Oney and Dr. Jim Zamias and the WCBC sports team with lots of information about the week in sports.
Good morning. It's Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC. This is Jim Zamias along with Mike Connolly, Brad Reed, Tony Orndorff, and Roxy Oney. What a night. And let's get to it with Mike Connolly. Mike, the scoreboard.
Thanks very much, Jim. Last night on Classic Hits 107, Frankfort 47, Allegheny 21. On 1270 AM WCBC, Dunbar 30, Fort Hill nothing. Boonesboro 40, Mountain Ridge 10. Southern 49, Hancock nothing. Next week, Southern plays Fort Hill. Kaiser 42, RC Byrd 20. Hampshire 33, Moorefield 14. Albert Gallatin 34, Northern 24. They are both two upcoming opponents for Allegheny. Berkeley Springs 34, Clear Spring 28. Petersburg 26, Pendleton 21. And Perryville 13, C. Milton Wright 9. In Major League Baseball, Washington 6, Pittsburgh 5, Toronto 6, Baltimore 1. And today in college football at noon, Towson is at Maryland. At 3:30, Pitt at WVU. 3 o'clock, Villanova at Penn State. And tonight, 7:30 on NBC, Texas A&M at Notre Dame.
All right, Mike, thank you very much. It's now time to kick in the two-minute warning. Tony, do you have the...
I have timer. I have a timer. I'm ready to go.
Very
I changed
good.
The sound.
All right, Roxy Oney, we now have our initial thoughts. Have at it.
Initial thoughts about anything across the board.
It's a two-minute warning. You do whatever you want.
Well, Dunbar's defense last night. Quick, decisive. They ran to the football. They were overwhelming. They got off the Fort Hills blocks as good as you're ever going to see it done in high school. They were gang tackling. The yardage that Braylon Younger got on his sheer toughness. He earned his yardage, and without that kid working as hard as he did, Fort Hill virtually may not have had any yardage.
All right, Tony.
Allegheny has more talent than their record would indicate. They were very impressive last night. I think Fort Hill has a lot of questions left right now, and Frankfort, I think, is the number one team in the area without question.
With you on that. Brad.
Alco just gave Frankfort its closest game that it's going to have the rest of the season.
Say that one more time. I'm not sure you said it the way you meant it.
They gave it. Alco gave Frankfort the closest game Frankfort will have the rest of the season.
Got it.
I got that the first time around.
I missed it. Mike?
I'm going to echo what Rock said. Fort Hill was beaten in all aspects of the game. Dunbar was more athletic, faster, took the game to Fort Hill, totally dominated them. And, of course, the injuries with House, Younger, and then, of course, a lot of cramping going on there for the Sentinels. But, they'll prepare for Southern.
All right. Garrett, we're in the two-minute warning, and you know what that sign means. Go.
Yes, I do. My takeaway is there's just levels to everything, and I think high school football is one of them. We know what Fort Hill brings to the table, the tradition, how good that program is, but they're just not at the same level as Dunbar. Dunbar was just a better team. That's not a takeaway or a knock on Fort Hill. There's just levels to everything, and I think Dunbar is just playing at a higher level.
How much time do I have, Tony?
8 seconds.
The Frankfort area, growing, thriving, and its threat in athletics. How's that?
Fair enough.
That's the timer. That's 2 minutes. I don't know. It didn't play very loudly. I'm working on the tech.
Like the horns of Camelot.
Might as well have your stomach growling.
We'll work on it. I was too busy cooking up the takes. I don't have time to work on all
cooking
the aspects.
Cooking up the takes?
Yeah, I don't have time to work on all the aspects.
Goodness. All right. You're on Saturday Morning Quarterback. We welcome your calls at 301-722-8255. Ristorante Ottaviani's Tasting Room is open for lunch at noon today. Live music by Ken Nolan from 12:30 to 3:30. They're featuring a new fall drink menu and offering a free Hendrick's Tasting from 2 to 4 p.m. Ristorante Ottaviani, fine dining in downtown Cumberland, 25 North Center Street in Cumberland. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Quarterback in just a moment.
When the diagnosis is Alzheimer's, the decisions are difficult. Fortunately, there's Country House. Hi, this is Nicole King. Our staff are trained to provide comfort, reassurance, and 24-hour care, 301-777-8717.
This is Michael Mudge, pastor of Bethany House of the Lord, inviting you to listen in right here on WCBC Radio to our message broadcast each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, or join us for in-person worship at 10 o'clock at 306 Ray Street in South Cumberland.
On the first day of 2025, a terrorist named Shamsuddin Jamar, inspired by the Islamic State, perpetrated attacks in New Orleans that claimed the lives of 14 Americans and injured nearly 60 more, making it the deadliest jihadist attack of the past decade. On Patriot Day 2025, let us remember that the fight against terrorism is far from over, and let us remain vigilant.
This message brought to you by Kensington Assisted Living, Baltimore Street, Cumberland. Quality of life in a family-like environment. 301-777-8800. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on 1270 AM, 103.1 FM. Let's check what happened last night in high school sports.
What happened last night was a lot of mouths agape, dropped jaws. Like, what's that score? So Brad and I were texting back and forth with the scores. The gap just kept getting bigger as we went. We're going to start with the Frankfort-Allegheny game, two teams that we cover every week. And Tony, give us some initial thoughts, if you would, please.
Well, I mean, 47-21, that's a pretty dominant performance by Frankfort. Allegheny scored 21 points. There haven't been a lot of teams in the last couple of years that have scored that many points against Frankfort. I think we figured out it was Hampshire last year. Most of those points came in garbage time with the team still throwing the ball. I thought Allegheny looked pretty good. They rushed the ball for 205 yards last night as a team. That's not typical in terms of teams rushing against Frankfort. And Frankfort, you know, they kept the ball on the ground too, but the stat lines are actually pretty similar. The Falcons rushed for 242 yards. The difference was turnovers and mistakes. Allegheny had a couple of dead ball penalties, unsportsmanlike conduct penalties that moved Frankfort down close, a couple of key turnovers, issues with the snap. But I thought they had a lot of talent. I think it's a good win for Frankfort, but I think it's something Allegheny can build on.
Okay. And we have a call. Good morning. You're on WCBC.
Good morning, fellas. If we could go back to the Fort Hill game for a couple of minutes. Sure. I think it was obvious to everybody who was there last night early that Fort Hill was not going to win that ball game. But my concern right now is injuries piling up. They had four guys that didn't even dress for the game last night. You lose your starting quarterback after three plays. Two of your defensive linemen go out with injuries. You get a couple of guys hit with blindside blocks that I don't think they knew who or what they were when they came off the field. And you got to go on the road now for 3 weeks. You got to go to Southern. You got to go to Hollidaysburg. You got to go to Bridgeport. And it's like Tony said, there's a lot of questions. Hopefully they can get regrouped. And I have a question for Mike. They were so dominated last night. Did they even cross the 50-yard line?
I'm not too sure if they did or not.
Maybe late, yes.
But I'm not too sure.
They had the ball at the 49 and a half and then lost 3 yards on the next play.
They did not cross the 50.
If they did, they barely got into Dunbar territory.
It wasn't even a contest. It was clear that they weren't going to win, but now I'm just concerned about the injuries piling up.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It wasn't a contest. And Dunbar on defense looked like they had 14 kids out there. And trying to call plays against that defense caller must have been really tough.
Then you throw a quarterback in there that probably hasn't worked with the first unit all season.
Right.
And you just, if you were going to throw the ball, that went out the window when House went out of the game. And I don't know how serious the injuries are. Hopefully they can come back next week and play, but the injury to the Riley boy looked pretty serious.
Yeah, fortunately, a little break in the schedule with Southern coming up, but then, you know, I've seen Hollidaysburg play twice this year. That is going to be something when Fort Hill goes up there. And then You mentioned Bridgeport's the week after that.
Yeah, Bridgeport, they have Southern, Hollidaysburg, and then Bridgeport. Three away games in a row.
All right. Yeah, it was concerning. It really was. But if we the Fort Hill always improves. Always improves as the season goes on.
Yeah, that's what you can hang your hat on. The team you see in week 7 or 8 is not the team you see in week 1 and 2.
If Bridgeport offers to feed the media down there, then you'll know you're in trouble. That's what I learned from Bill Cessna.
Yes, Bill Cessna.
Who taught me that.
Bill, no. Well, caller, thank you very much.
And I can agree with you guys. I've seen Fort Hill twice, and I've seen Frankfort twice, and Frankfort is head and shoulders above them right now.
All right.
Wow.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All righty. Very good. So, dead ball penalties.
Dead ball penalties, and that was after Allegheny had scored a touchdown, and they just let Frankfort get right back in it. It was like a four-play drive that it was penalties that moved them down close. We talked last week about the snap. I was talking to you before we started. I didn't even quite grasp what it meant to say the snap was late. Like, it sounded like an existential issue. Like, the snap is always on time. It is, but it is late. And it's consistently late, and it made pitches late. It made all sorts of what they were trying to do in the backfield off schedule. You had a snap on a punt that rolled back. That was an issue as well. So those things seem fixable to me. They could be cleaned up. There's a lot of talent. Sebastian Stewart was very impressive. He got behind the Frankfort secondary multiple times. Keonti Bible is good, but Frankfort did a great job bottling him up. He really didn't get loose. And Imani Blow, very good in the middle. And they pounded Frankfort in the middle in a way that I don't think have ever seen. And Roan County had this big, lumbering, galoot at fullback that everyone talked about, and he couldn't do anything in the championship game.
Was that the title game?
Yes.
I remember that kid had like no forward lean. It was
not
the
at
weirdest.
All. He was out of position. He wasn't supposed to be a fullback, not to go deep on Roan County, but he was out of position, and then he started playing fullback, and they kept winning, so they did it. But you could see he was exposed there. But,
all right, with all that said, yes. Allegheny's really talented, blah, blah, blah. They beat him 47-21, and some of those points came very late for Allegheny. I mean, that score.
One touchdown did. One touchdown came late.
The other two were against the first team defense.
We're trying to say Frankfort is that good. If you're scoring on Frankfort 14 points, good game.
Yes.
If you're staying under the 35-point rule, good game. I don't know how many games we're going to see the rest of the way that clock isn't going to run in the second half, and that's my point.
Especially at home.
Allegheny didn't give them, for a little bit I saw that in the paper, didn't give themselves much of a chance to win
no,
the game.
No, Rock, and again,
I agree.
12 penalties.
Yeah, we talked last night. Frankfort is a machine. They do everything right, and they just kept coming. They are never going to beat themselves, and they just keep coming. Allegheny beat itself many, many times. Drop passes, penalties. They ran a kickoff back, got called back, 2 holds. Wide open receiver. And he was going to take it to the house, drops the ball. On and on and on. What we wanted to see last night, Tony and I, was can Frankfort beat a team with athletes? We now know the answer. We think the only way Frankfort could get beat is a large team that will lean on them throughout the game, drain them. Big offensive line, big defensive line, and just wear them out.
Yeah, Herbert Hoover comes in. That's a team that could challenge them like that. You know, Braden Tyler for Frankfort, didn't talk about him much in the not someone I had on my radar.
Right.
4 touchdowns last night. He is incredibly fast. He returned a punt. That's the second one this season that he's returned for a touchdown. He had a 48-yard touchdown pass and 2 touchdowns on the ground. He's very good. The fullback, Caden McKenzie, 91 yards. They haven't had a 100-yard rusher yet in the season.
No, they spread,
they spread
it out.
It out
so well. Garrett, what are your thoughts? Certainly hearing that the quarterback blank went 10 of 20 is something else, but what do you think?
What I'm gathering from what I'm hearing from you guys is that Allegheny, like we kind of talked about in the Hollidaysburg loss, yes, they lost, but they show a lot of potential. And like what Tony said with the snaps, you hope that is a fixable issue, a lot more practice. And talking to Coach Hansen before the first game, he said, look, this is a young team. We're going to make mistakes, but we're going to get better as the season goes on. And I think based on what I'm hearing from Frankfort, yes, they lost the game, but they're still showing signs of growth. Sebastian Stewart seems like he is maturing and getting better as the season goes on in 2 weeks. We know what we're going to get from Keonti Bible. We know what we're going to get from Imani Blow. But hearing Tony say that Allegheny was pounding, you know, Frankfurt in between the tackles and being effective on them, I think games like this are only going to help Allegheny in the long run. They have a very tough stretch to start out the season. You have, you know, you open up with Hollidaysburg, then you turn around with Frankfurt. Frankfurt's a very, very good team. So for anybody to expect them to beat them is a tall task. And then you turn around, you have Mountain Ridge. Yeah, I do have a caller.
We do have a caller. Good morning. You're on Saturday Morning Quarterback.
Gentlemen, good morning. It's Adam.
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, guys. It's great to be back with you guys again this year. Look forward to it here at the end of the month.
Good.
I was surprised. I was in between stuff, Jim. I saw you at the college inauguration.
Right.
In the booth and Garrett down on, but I didn't get a chance to talk to you guys. I just wanted to point out nothing related to football games last night, other than I was stunned by the Dunbar score, and it happened early. But I did get to see the great Steve Bazarnik yesterday.
Oh, good.
I've seen him for years, but he was there with Tommy Reams and Mason Heine, and got a chance to talk to him. It was great. It was great to see him out, and just it's great when you're around him. Just what comes out of his mouth, you want to sit and listen to him for hours.
Hey, Adam, just real quick, that gathering at Allegheny College was that was like anybody who's ever, you know, it was really quite impressive who all showed up at that yesterday.
It was, and, you know, when I went down to Belmont to Zach's graduation, and it was this big, huge event, I mean, that's what it was at ACC or ACM yesterday. It was great, and I hated being late coming from another meeting, but I got there, and just to listen to everybody talk, I mean, it was a very, very, I mean, if anybody was there, they would say the same thing. Yeah. What a great event. What a great hire for Allegheny College of Maryland to have David Jones. If anybody that knows him, I've known him since coaching his daughter, Rachel, in travel soccer, and always knowing, and everybody said the same thing about him. He always had something kind to say to you. We could get killed out on a soccer field and be, you know, lose 8-0, and all the other parents are mad. He walks over and he says, great game, coach. You guys really tried. Like, he always can find a positive spin, and you heard that in those speeches all throughout the entire time, including his kids. I mean, it's unbelievable to hear young adults get up there and speak the way they do, because it's unusual now. Usually they have to have their head buried down in their phone. So.
Well, Adam, I appreciate you calling, and we're going to have you in here in 2 weeks after you do a Frankfurt game, okay?
I am, and I'm looking forward to it. So I'm going to bring some new stuff with me. So, guys, I hope you're ready for it.
We'll be ready. Hey, thanks for calling, and we'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Sounds
all
good.
Right.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, Adam Stern, who will be joining us in a couple weeks. Rock, any further thoughts on Allegheny-Frankfurt?
Well, you know, trying to comment on a game you didn't see is difficult, as everyone knows, but they gave up a touchdown on a punt return. One that jumped out at me, and I think that, I guess this is accurate, Tony and Brad, 12 penalties. And a couple of those, if I read between the lines, were of players being undisciplined. Bad snap on a punt, Tony mentioned. Interception that led to a short field and a touchdown. And had a touchdown called back on a kickoff return. That's
yeah.
not a good
call. With two different holding penalties on that call, it looks like another phone
call. Not a good call. Not a good team if you're playing like that.
Good morning. You're on Saturday Morning Quarterback.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I'm a diehard Fort Hill fan, as you probably know by now, but also Dunbar is a dirty football team. I'm sorry, but they are.
All right.
They had 120 yards in penalties, had three touchdowns called back.
They had one dropped in the end zone. It should have been a touchdown on a pass.
Yeah, but that is all in the coaching. The coaches let them get away with it, and they're going to do it.
Well, are you ready for Fort Hill to get back on the winning track against Southern next week?
Well, I don't think that'll be a problem. Will we get House back?
Iffy. Off air, there was conjecture that maybe it'd be good to let him get another week to heal up. So
I think you'll see. Yeah, I mean, that would make sense.
When you lose your starting quarterback on the third play of the game, things can't be good.
Yeah. when I hear that third play of the game, I think of Aaron Rodgers on the fourth play of the game 2 years ago. But yeah, as we've said, caller, and you obviously can take it to heart, you know, they're going to get better. Those that coaching staff is so good. So hang in there. They'll be back.
Okay. But hey. Dunbar's always been that way, so it's in the coaching.
All right. I appreciate you calling and listening. Have a good
day.
Thank
you.
All righty. All right, that is going to conclude this segment. And Ristorante Ottaviani's Tasting Room is opening for lunch at noon today. Live music by Ken Nolan, 12:30 to 3:30, featuring a new fall drink menu and offering a free Hendrix tasting from 2 to 4 p.m. Ristorante Ottaviani, fine dining in downtown Cumberland, 25 North Center Street in Cumberland. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Quarterback in just a moment.
Hi, this is Nicole King from the Kensington Assisted Living in Cumberland. We offer a comfortable, safe place to call home for those who need a little extra help or want a carefree lifestyle. 301-777-8800.
This is Ed Taylor, Jr., president of the Cumberland Historic Cemetery Organization. We are a patriotic organization that promotes the truthful and traditional history and heritage of the United States of America here in Cumberland, Maryland. We protect and preserve historic monuments to great American patriots. On the eve of our nation's 250th anniversary, once again, we are promoting our local history and heritage in our area's sacred cemeteries. In doing this, we offer free tours of our designated and protected grave sites. These are grave sites marked with monuments erected and restored by the Cumberland Historic Cemetery Organization since 1983. During the upcoming Heritage Days, which we have played a major role in for the past 42 years, we are offering tours of our historic grave sites. Both days, September 13th and 14th, at 12 noon and 3 p.m., which begin and end at St. Peter and Paul Cemetery entrance on Fayette Street here in Cumberland. Come learn our area's great history and heritage. Thank you.
Now, back to Saturday Morning Quarterback here on WCBC.
We're back on Saturday Morning Quarterback. Tony said we may need a three-minute warning in the future. What did I get? 8 seconds?
I think you had 9 seconds, but you had it down. You had a nine-second take ready to go.
He had the ball at the 40 with a good quarterback with a good arm.
Didn't pass
Rock,
the 50.
Garrett ignored my little sign that Dave gives you guys when we do sports where it's like,
I saw that.
This is like a quarter inch between his thumb and index finger.
Yeah, Dave no sooner gets in here in the morning than he's giving me that, and I haven't even started.
Is that better or worse than the aggressive timeout signal you get from the...
It's right up there with it.
Okay.
That's right.
I got one of those at a volleyball game recently.
Yeah, I understand. It's
no surprise, our Allegheny-Frankfort segment had two Fort Hill calls. Frankfort and Allegheny fans, you got come on in and mess up the Fort Hill segment. Step up. All right, 30-0 Dunbar. Mike Connolly, what are your initial thoughts on Dunbar's dominance of Fort Hill last night?
Well, I was impressed on how good their second-team quarterback was. I mean, he was, of all areas of the game, passing, running, I mean, compensating when he had to scramble. And, of course, one of the touchdowns were dropped in the end zone by the receiver. But, I mean, if he's a second-string quarterback, what's a third-string quarterback look like? I mean, because they brought almost 50 kids. And they were talented, you know, big size and everything, and they were Dunbar.
All right, Garrett.
Like I kind of mentioned in the two-minute drill, there's just levels to everything. And, you know, Fort Hill's a great program. They bring a lot to the table, but at the level of Dunbar, just the athletes that they commanded, speed on the edge, good pursuit. They could throw the football. Whoever was back there throwing the football at the quarterback position did very, very well. And then also, I think with Dunbar, we kind of touched on it before the game, they work well in organized chaos. They showed up late, and I asked the assistant coach, did you guys hit traffic? And he just kind of stared at me and smirked. So I meant that, I took that to mean, look, they didn't really hit traffic. They just, that's kind of how they are. They show up when, you know, when they want to. They push the game back. They don't have like a place-kicking team. Their kickoffs and punts are kind of iffy. They're just going to put 11 on the field, their best athletes, and say, try and beat us. And it works well for them. We saw that last night.
Brad, as you know, Fort Hill is renowned for special teams. Despite not having a place kicker, Dunbar totally outplayed Fort Hill in special teams last night. It was crazy.
I don't think there's any excuse for that, is there?
Well, the punt coverage was I'd love to see the tape, Brad, to see if the Dunbar was really did well at holding up the linemen and keeping them from getting downfield, because at least twice Dunbar fielded punts and there wasn't anybody within 12 yards of them.
Yeah, how was Allegheny's punt coverage last night? Do you guys have any memory of that?
We have the memory of the punt or the attempted punt. The one punt was the snap rolled back to the punter. He was on the 2-yard line.
Yes, I think.
And kicked it, and the punt went straight up and landed about 10 yards, rolled another 5. So these are the types of things that we experience with the punt game.
And then Frankfurt had a punt return for a touchdown, so not good there either. A lot of questions.
They have problems on Allegheny. Now we're going to bring Allegheny into the Fort Hill
segment. Yes, we are.
If you don't mind. But Allegheny had problems on the kickoff. They just didn't know where they were going to kick it off. They kind of squib kicked it. Tony and I were kind of confused by that because a kind of an up man would get it, run back 10 yards. Frankfurt was starting on the 50-yard line sometime.
Yeah, I'd have to look to see what the average field position was. Wow. But one of the reasons I think Frankfurt hasn't had a ton of yards in games is because they are starting with really good field position throughout the season.
You know, if a team, to finish up on Allegheny, if a team is doing those kinds of things that you just described with the kickoff, they're scrambling to find answers for what they must perceive to be a lot of problems.
Well, continuing with the Allegheny and the Fort Hill segment here, Sebastian Stewart is the kicker.
Right.
So it was like watching the 1920s because he scored a touchdown, then he kicked the extra point, then he kicked off. So.
Or watching Chris Hendershot for Bishop Walsh 15 years ago or 20 years ago. Dunbar, the way Gary was describing it, they came a half hour before the game started.
Yeah,
the game started 15 minutes late. It's sort of like a barnstorming team almost, where they hop off the bus or whatever vehicle, and they're great no matter how much warm-up time they had. And the dominance was – how often do we ever have a segment? Talk about how Fort Hill was dominated last night. That happens maybe once every 2, 3, 4 years.
Catoctin.
Yeah.
Erie School. Was it Cathedral?
Yeah, one of those. Erie Cathedral Prep.
A team in D.C. that time a few years ago. Well, some charter school.
The last shutout was the 2019 game at Catoctin.
Yeah.
41-0.
That was bad.
And that was bad for everyone involved.
That was very bad.
And unlike that Erie Cathedral Prep game and the Catoctin loss, last night Fort Hill didn't throw in the towel personnel.
When I looked that up, that was what I remembered about the Catoctin game, is that Fort Hill went down early and they packed it in. Like, there was not a lot of fight. Now,
and
I don't
it wasn't
know if that
the
was
players
like
that packed it in. I want to make that clear.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. All right.
So,
but
you tell me, what was that? It wasn't. You're saying that wasn't like that last night?
No, they were trying, and they had personnel in there. And kudos to our favorite running back, number 0.
Braylon Younger.
Yeah, he had a knee injury right there. He came back in. And he did a full sprint from one sideline to another. I mean, a dead sprint. So
when you see Fort Hill lose like that, maybe you start seeing things that aren't really there because it's so unusual. And I kept thinking, has the life come out of them because they're just stunned that they can't do anything and Dunbar is so dominant? Or was I just seeing that? They were still tackling hard. I mean, they were still playing hard.
It was scoreless at the end of the first quarter. But I will say this, and it was puzzling. Fort Hill came out as flat as I've ever seen him in the third quarter. The start of that third quarter was terrible. Dunbar, had a touchdown call back.
They did. Mm-hmm.
And then they did score in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So that was strange.
That's unusual. That is not a mark of a Fort Hill team.
Is it the lack of offensive production that causes that?
Well, yeah, and I got to credit Dunbar with that, but that Fort Hill offense did not look great against Northern.
No, they
and
didn't.
That's why we overestimated Northern. But again, they'll turn it around. We're reporting what we're seeing, and we saw the first two games, and it's just not what we're used to. Mike Connolly, it's time for the scores. Let's do it.
All right, Jim, last night on Classic Hits 107, Frankfurt 47, Allegheny 21. On 1270 AM WCBC, Dunbar 30, Fort Hill nothing. Boonesboro 40, Mountain Ridge 10, Southern 49, Hancock nothing. Kaiser 42, RC Bird 20, Hampshire 33, Moorfield 14, and Albert Gallatin 34, Northern 24.
All right, there's your scores. And we also have our number of the night, which should be very interesting, and our booth review, and I have no idea where that will take us. Your calls are welcome at 301-722-8255. Ristorante Ottaviani's Tasting Room is opening for lunch at noon today. Live music by Ken Nolan, 12:30 to 3:30. They're featuring a new fall drink menu and offering a free Hendrix tasting from 2 to 4 p.m. Ristorante Ottaviani, fine dining in downtown Cumberland, 25 North Center Street in Cumberland. Mike Conley, what is a Hendrix tasting?
Hendrix is a gin.
It's not Jimi Hendrix.
No.
It's not a made gin. By
it is a gin.
That's
from London.
Spelled differently than Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
As Dave says all the time, I'll get somebody who knows that, or I'll hire somebody. Mike Conley is here. Why should I guess about Hendrix?
He was a liquor salesman, not a drunk.
That's a good qualification.
Yes, I never drank it, but I sold a ton.
Garrett, how many years is Mike a liquor salesman?
30 years in the beverage business.
32. Darn, I just blew it. I'm trying to give you your chance to show
how many stadiums.
I blew it.
84.
There you go.
Oh, I got four numbers when we come to the numbers.
Is it time for a break?
Yeah, it's time for a break. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC.
WCBC, Cumberland.
Partly sunny skies today, high near 87 degrees with mostly cloudy skies tonight and a low near 57. I'm Chris Myers in the WCBC Newsroom. Cumberland's RailFest gets underway today, beginning at 10 a.m. at the Canal Place Festival Grounds. Vendors will be offering everything from handcrafted goods, rail-themed collectibles, and local food and drinks, and model train displays. A kids' area will be available with a climbing wall and inflatables, and live music begins at 5 p.m. this evening. A highlight of this year's events is a chance to ride behind the mighty steam locomotive 1309 on special excursions between Cumberland and the Homesteaders Curve, with ticket prices at $13.09 in honor of the engine. Visitors can also climb aboard the Barbecue Choo Choo this evening, featuring a rolling feast of smoke favorites and savory treats. There's plenty going on in downtown Cumberland today and tomorrow, so be sure to get out and enjoy some of our local festivities. I'm Chris Myers in the WCBC Newsroom, reminding you to remember the time you spent listening to 1270 AM, 103.1 FM, and streaming worldwide at WCBCRadio.com.
With the Altoona Curve Report, this is John Moses. Erie took the Friday night matchup between the Curve and Seawolves. Erie has won 3 out of 4 now this week. Deuce Gorson picked up a career-high 4 hits, including his 10th home run overall this season in the 7th inning, but Curve could not overcome. 3 home runs hit by Erie in an 8-4 loss. Looking ahead, Saturday, Curve back to the field, 6:05 on Saturday night at Erie. Left-hander Connor Whitgriff will make his AA debut against the Seawolves. With the Altoona Curve Report, this is John Moses.
The Pirates look to get back to their winning ways on Saturday afternoon when they send Bubba Chandler to the mound. He'll be opposed by Andrew Alvarez of the Nationals. And we're coming on the air Saturday, 3:40 for Pirates pregame. It's a 4:05 first pitch from Nationals Park for the Pirates and the Nationals right here on your home for Pirates baseball.
When the diagnosis is Alzheimer's, the decisions are difficult. Fortunately, there's Country House. Hi, this is Nicole King. Our staff are trained to provide comfort, reassurance, and 24-hour care, 301-777-8717.
A highlight from last night in high school sports here on WCBC. Now, back to Saturday Morning Quarterback.
Good morning. It's Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC. Let's go to the phones. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning. In the pregame last night, you and Rock were talking about the name of the stadium.
Right. Well, I brought that up. I'll take the blame for that.
Well, no, it was a good discussion.
Oh, good.
I just want to say that I'm a little bit younger than Rock, a little bit older than you.
Uh-huh.
But a great name for that stadium would be Bob Pence Stadium.
I've heard that mentioned in the past. Tell us, who is Bob Pence?
He was the director of athletics for Allegheny County Schools.
Yep, a longtime coach. I remember watching his son play for Bruce, Mike Conley. He's our age. Remember the Pence guy? He had sideburns.
Yes.
Who played for Bruce.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, and Bob Pence was my neighbor on Utah Avenue for a while, too. Good man.
Yes, good man. Very good man.
Yeah.
Just to throw a crowbar into the whole discussion, I could provide you with documentation from a government agency that declares that stadium called Fort Hill Stadium.
Well, you know, I guess here's what drives me crazy. This goes back to the mid-'80s and the school board decision.
Right, exactly.
It's a Fort Hill Stadium, and then all of a sudden some people at Allegheny start whining, and they change the name of the stadium. Then the Fort Hill band boosters are kicking butt selling stuff, as we know. They know how to run a snack bar. And then Allegheny starts whining about that, so they have some snack bar that they run half the time. It just annoys me. And again, I'm a Bishop Walsh person. I don't care about Fort Hill and Allegheny. But to change the name of that stadium to something stupid like Greenway Avenue is ridiculous. Why not call it Fort Hill Stadium? That's where it is. And all right, so thanks for letting me go through it one more time. I should be done with that for at least 2 years.
I did not know he felt that strongly about that. You guys?
Brad, you were in school when that changed.
I mean, that was a rant.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, what a bunch of baloney. Okay.
That was the only rant you get here in the
show. Yeah, that was enough.
Is that your booth review?
Yeah. No. Sir, thank you. I believe the documentation, and we're with you.
We appreciate you listening.
Keep up the good work, and I really enjoyed Garrett's comments. I just think that Garrett is on the point. He's a great commentator. Yeah.
Yes, he is.
He is indeed. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
That's my Uncle Charlie. I had him call in.
I don't know the caller.
I really don't.
Once I get Steven to call from Georgia, we're gonna have it down here. Rock, would you like to do the number first?
Well, yeah, I'm going to broaden this out a little bit. Number as in the number of holding calls we've seen in two games. I was just curious if the officials, you know, sometimes they decide they're going to focus on something because they think there's been too much of it, or they've clarified it among themselves what they are going to call. But, wow, been a tremendous number of holding calls in the two games we've seen. And the other thing I just mentioned quickly, the injuries at Fort Hill, we really have to keep an eye on that. I thought House maybe just turned an ankle or something. Well, I read it's a knee.
Yeah.
And Adams was injured. And 34 is Riley, I think.
Yes,
he looked
Riley.
Like he was really had a knee or ankle injury too. And it's good football players. To lose them, wow.
Tony, what's your number?
My number is 21. That is the percentage third down conversion rate for opponents against Frankfurt right now this early in the season. Last night, Allegheny was 1 of 8 on third down.
Good numbers. Brad?
Rock, I need a ruling here. It's not really a number, it's a word, but it's undefeated. You good with that?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, you didn't give any numbers. What are you asking him for?
Well, he seems to be the czar of numbers, but
using any.
So I humbly believe that Frankfurt will go undefeated this regular season. I don't see them having a close game the rest of the year.
And now, if you had said 9-0, I would have been.
You
okay
would accept.
With
that.
Well, I think there's a number that lives within the spirit of the word undefeated.
And if you listen closely, somewhere over across the Potomac, Coach Whiteman is throwing his Pop Dart against the wall, hating to hear that.
He has better things to do than listen to us.
I think he's polishing up that gun from the gun shop, is what he's doing. Michael, what do you have?
I have two, 4 and 91. 4 first downs for Fort Hill, 91 yards total offense. Mm. Of that 79 yards rushing, Braylon Younger had 66.
One first down in the first half, right?
Correct.
Right. Garrett?
20. For 186, 20 passes thrown for 186 yards from Blank, the quarterback at Allegheny.
Yeah.
We drone on and on about our local teams not throwing the football.
Just a sophomore.
Allegheny's throwing the football this year and threw for a touchdown to Sebastian Stewart.
Okay, question for you guys, not trying to be smarter. Any of you using a number in your booth review? I don't want to steal anybody's thunder. No?
I have some, but I'm sure it's not anything you'd be stealing.
Okay, yes?
I am. I'm using a number, but go ahead.
Fort Hill or Allegheny related, or Frankfurt?
Fort Hill, but go ahead.
Okay.
All right. This is great. This is
Tony,
great radio.
Are you doing – well, at any rate, Brad texted me this last night, and Allegheny County Schools, Mountain Ridge, Fort Hill, and Allegheny lost last night 117-31.
Wow.
Think about that.
Wow.
117-31.
21 of those points were from Allegheny.
Right. And Dunbar is now 7-1 against Fort Hill.
Wow.
7-1.
Brad, I was wondering, instead of my number, I read this wrong. I gave my booth review. Can I back up? One of my numbers was that Dunbar forced 5 fumbles.
Ross, Chris, can you find some match game backwards like music as we do this back and forth?
I'm much more easygoing, Rock. I don't get all worked up about Greenway Avenue Stadium anymore. So you can do whatever you want. It's
thank
okay.
Thank you very much.
I always but that's the stadium name I grew up with. So I always like this.
I'm sorry about that.
Could I let
dumb name? I will never.
He's going again.
That's a dumb name. I don't care what anybody says. It's
can
a
I
dumb name.
Can I levy an opinion? We'll all be dead and gone. But when they consolidate the schools, they should call it Fort Cumberland, the Fort Cumberland Campers, and the Red, White, and Blue.
Oh, that's so old person.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it should be.
Thank you,
again,
Chris.
We'll all be dead and gone.
No, you'll still be around.
No,
Tony will be here.
I'd go right
all
now.
All right. Ristorante Ottaviani's Tasting Room is opening for lunch today at noon. Live music by Ken Nolan, 12:30 to 3:30. They are featuring a new fall drink menu and offering a free Hendrix gin tasting from 2 to 4 p.m. Ristorante Ottaviani, fine dining in downtown Cumberland, 25 North Center Street in Cumberland. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback. Your calls are welcome. We'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Nicole King from the Kensington Assisted Living in Cumberland. We offer a comfortable, safe place to call home for those who need a little extra help or want a carefree lifestyle. 301-777-8800.
This is Ed Taylor, Jr., president of the Cumberland Historic Cemetery Organization. We are a patriotic organization that promotes the truthful and traditional history and heritage of the United States of America here in Cumberland, Maryland. We protect and preserve historic monuments to great American patriots. On the eve of our nation's 250th anniversary, once again, we are promoting our local history and heritage in our area's sacred cemeteries. In doing this, we offer free tours of our designated and protected grave sites. These are grave sites marked with monuments erected and restored by the Cumberland Historic Cemetery Organization since 1983. During the upcoming Heritage Days, which we have played a major role in for the past 42 years, we are offering tours of our historic grave sites. Both days, September 13th and 14th, at 12 noon and 3 p.m., which begin and end at St. Peter and Paul Cemetery entrance on Fayette Street here in Cumberland. Come learn our area's great history and heritage. Thank you.
Frostburg Memorial and Sowers Funeral Home are proud to support the 9/11 Remembrance. Trust your family's remembrance with Sowers Funeral Home and Frostburg Memorial. They take pride in helping you with your loved ones. Frostburg Memorial and Sowers Funeral Home. Frostburg.
This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on 1270 AM, 103.1 FM. Let's check what happened last night in high school sports.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Quarterback. This is Jim Zemias along with the whole crew here. And right now, Mike Connolly, let's do your booth review.
All right, Jim, thanks. I'm interested in the number of penalties. Dunbar had 14, Fort Hill had 6. For you listeners out there, the time of possession, sometimes it plays into the game. 20 seconds difference. Fort Hill had the ball for 24-10, Dunbar 23-50. Of course, the results was a shutout. And then the game clock. That game clock is still not operating correctly. And, of course, I was sitting next to Doug Wolf, who's the scoreboard operator, and he kept saying about we were unplugging it and plugging it back in, and I was looking for pigeons on the wire and things like that. And Kenny Johnson almost threw his arm out twice trying to get the clock to wind, and it wouldn't. So then Doug Wolf had to contact Gavin Palumbo, the athletic director at Fort Hill, and tell him about the clock. So something's got to be done with the stadium clock or else there's got to be problems.
Last week at halftime, Coach Hansel came out and he said, hey, technological question, what frequency are you guys broadcasting on? And I said, it's on the MARTA unit, you know, 5,000 watts. I don't know. Probably totally incorrect.
Just a bunch of numbers.
Yeah. And I said, why do you ask? And he said, our headsets aren't working. We can't hear the coaches. And he said, we run on Bluetooth. And last week, the scoreboard, whatcha-name, was out on the deck, and it was in between them. And I think, getting back to the scoreboard, I think there's probably some interference between that module that Doug uses with all the radio stations to the left of him and TV and everything like that. I think there's some interference because I was watching the scoreboard as well, and when it would count down, it would hesitate. Like, let's say it was at 133, it would stop. It was almost like it stopped, and then it would jump to 131. I think there's some sort of interference. So my opinion, I don't know anything, he should be as far left as possible on that deck, potentially, so there's no interference.
Instead of moving right, which yeah. he's done. Rock, tell our listeners about the clock back in the day.
When I first started going to, what do you want to say, Greenway Avenue Stadium or Fort Hill Stadium?
It's up to you, Rock. I don't know.
Just for the sake of the segment, the stadium, we'll move on.
How about the stadium?
It used to be a regular clock with hands, and it was on this. It was actually on Fort Hill State, on Fort Hill, the school.
On the building.
Yeah, it was.
Above the 52 steps.
Yeah, it's a little bit tough to read.
Jerry Calhoun ran that thing up at Bell forever.
Yeah.
Long jeans.
Yeah, if any fans maybe watch old NFL games, maybe Franklin Field, when the Eagles beat the Packers in 1960, might have had a clock like that. Yeah. I don't know. All right, we're doing booth review right now, believe it or not. Garrett, go ahead.
This is one that probably couldn't be helped, but it would have been nice if the two local games would have been on a Friday and Saturday, like the Fort Hill-Dunbar game could have been on Saturday so everybody could go to both.
That's a very good point.
Of course, I don't know anything about scheduling. It probably couldn't be helped. But just as a spectator, it would have been nice if we could, you know, wave a magic wand. And then my second one.
Is this a rant?
No, it's just very quick and has nothing to do with football. I was so hell-bent on getting Lions chicken last night after the game. So I got home, picked up my wife. We rode up there. They were sold out for the night.
What time
I thought it was 24/7.
They stopped doing that.
Man. So then I saw a post on Rock and I get on Facebook a lot. Saw a post on Facebook. They start at 10 a.m. today.
Okay.
So 8 p.m., I think.
I've missed. Yeah. So I haven't been in town for Lion's Chicken probably for 2 years straight. And then I finally, have a chance. So I have to go up there tonight. And I will go up there tonight.
They stopped going 24 hours when they changed the stadium name.
Okay.
They did the same.
And it's probably COVID.
By the way, Garrett did tell us he didn't have a booth review ready, right?
I think that's what he's trying to say.
It was a number.
I got it. Brad, what is your booth review?
I do not have a booth review. I want to conduct a booth review. And here's who I want.
Oh, okay.
Here's who I want in my booth. I want Charlie Latimer, Jerry Calhoun, and Jack Gilmore. And I want to ask them what they think about high school football right now and the status of football in Allegheny County. That's what I want to do.
All right.
That's pretty cool, Brad.
Tony?
One of the conversations Brad and I have been having a lot in the early going is this Frankfurt team as good as last year's team? And I think Brad's ready to say yes. So just a data point on that. Right now, Frankfurt's averaging 42 points a game. Last year, they finished the season averaging 44 points a game. So it's not a crazy conversation to have at all. And like I say, I think Brad's a little more sold on it than I am. It's just hard to say that after having seen what they did last year, but...
So their start right now is like the Green Bay Packers in the NFL.
Yeah. They are picking up right where they left off. And again, the way you build a program is the second team gets lots of run, when games are getting out of hand, and that's what happened all last year. So now all these guys coming in, guys like Tyler, they have experience that other teams don't get for their second teamers, and so it just keeps rolling and rolling. And they're rolling 17 games in a row. That's a school record.
All right. Rock, how about your booth review or number or whatever you'd like to do?
I can't top any of that. I'm just going to say it's a real scramble locally. Who do you pick if you're picking each week like we do with this in the sports department? I mean, there we have Frankfurt. They lost so much talent from that team, and right now they seem to be easily the number one team in the area, which is that indication, I guess, of the kind of year it's going to be. And then, of course, with Fort Hill, I think most of us thought, gosh, with that line coming back, they are really, and Braylon Younger and Carson Bender, they're going to be something to contend with. But we'll have to see going forward after these injuries.
All right. Yeah, and picking Allegheny Mountain Ridge will be quite the challenge. Mountain Ridge 1-1, they beat Southern, got crushed by Boonesboro last night. Allegheny 0-2, and as Hansel said in the paper, we haven't beaten them in ages, and so that'll be very interesting. All right, so let's see, my booth review. Prior to the series with Frankfurt ending, Allegheny had won 8 in a row, all in double digits. Kevin Whiteman said, we're taking a break from this. And Allegheny led the series 11-3 prior to last night. They beat Ridgely. Their record against Ridgely was 12-1-1. So just think about that flip that has taken place. And then Coach Hansel's quote, you can't be one-dimensional. And he was talking about the passing game. Now, how much time have we spent here saying Allegheny needs to develop a passing game? And now, ironically, he's not happy, of course, that they couldn't establish a run. We'll credit Frankfurt with that last night. But it's interesting how things change. And credit Coach Hansel for getting that passing game going. But going back to them, Brad, what would you say, what does Allegheny need to fix to head into this Mountain Ridge game?
That's a good question. I think it's just basic fundamentals. It's punting, Rock. It's covering kicks. It's kickoffs. When you play better teams, those are the types of mistakes that will beat you. Frankfurt doesn't make those mistakes. What Allegheny does have is great skilled positions. I think that's what I would focus on. I think they found themselves a quarterback, myself. This kid can sling it. And whether he's one-dimensional, winning football games, one-dimensional, two-dimensional, doesn't really matter. If he can sling it, let him sling it. That's where I would be.
All right. Did anybody other than Stewart do much in the receiving? Now, Stewart had 4 catches. Somebody caught the other 6. So
Chauncey Bible came open a couple of times on slants, and that was there throughout the night. Blank throws a good deep ball and lets the players run under it, but I think if he could step through some of those throws on the slants and get that ball to them, they might have a little bit of chance to catch and go.
The one catch that he made that who made it on the sidelines?
I think that was Stewart. Yeah,
Stewart.
That was Stewart.
Tony and I said we hadn't seen a catch like that in years. It was amazing. He caught it over his head and drug it both feet and got it down. It was a big-time catch.
All right. Remember, callers, we have more time if you'd like to get in, 301-722-8255. Tony, what are your thoughts as Allegheny heads into that Mountain Ridge contest?
We were talking about how to pick it, and you know I haven't seen much for Mountain Ridge, but I thought Allegheny looked like they have a lot of the pieces. They have a little. I think I said at the beginning of this, they have more talent than their record indicates. I think they could give Mountain Ridge a lot of trouble, and I think the success for Allegheny is through the air. I mean, you can, and they did have some success running the ball. It's not that they didn't. They couldn't get the edge, but they pounded in the middle. But there was space. There was room, and Stewart can get behind the coverage. And they had some room in the middle of the field, too, and Blank can deliver. I would focus on that as a factor and try to clean up some of those mistakes. And then they could compete with a lot of teams on the rest of their schedule.
All right. Garrett, your thoughts?
We have a caller.
All right.
All right.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on Saturday Morning Quarterback.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I was just wondering, and this is kind of crazy, but Frankfurt has had a great team the past couple years, and you know where I'm going with this, and Fort Hill, of course. A lot of locals would really like to see those guys match up. What would be the chance that after the regular season, so there's no fear of someone getting hurt doing something stupid that was unregulated, that wasn't on the schedule, that they get together like on a Sunday afternoon and do a game where all the proceeds go to charity, something like that?
Well, that's a good thought. Do you want to weigh in on that, Rock?
As I understand the rules in high school football in the state of Maryland, that probably would not be allowed.
Well, I'm not saying it's an official game. I'm just saying, you know, this would be after the season's done. You know, everybody's done their playoff games and the whole bit. They just, you know,
I think the best chance you'd have was some kind of, like, flag football charity event, but they're never going to get together in full pads with officials and mm-hmm. play a game that's unsanctioned. I just can't imagine
that's
going
to happen. You get into liability issues.
You know, those are good thoughts. And then, you know, earlier we were talking about Boy, it'd be nice if the Allegheny-Frankfurt game would have been on Saturday, or vice versa. Kevin Whiteman is not going to play a Saturday game to make things convenient.
No.
Their habit is Friday nights. And the same thing, you know, and of course, we're now going to get the discussion, should Frankfurt play Fort Hill? Kevin Whiteman's job is to get Frankfurt where he needs to be, and that's trying to win a state title. I'd like to see it, but it's incumbent on Frankfurt to do what's best for Frankfurt. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't think they owe anybody
anything. I totally
get
that.
Yeah.
You know, it would have made sense.
I get that. I was just...
Go ahead, Cole.
You know, a lot of people are just talking about, you know, wow, it's such a good team. Why, you know, could they play together? Well, obviously they're not on each other's schedule, but, you know, just kind of thinking.
You know, if it was back in the 50s and 60s, you might have been able to pull off something like that before all the rules. But even then, these kids play other sports.
Well, that's what I was thinking, too. If you're waiting for the after the season, well, all these guys are wrestling or playing basketball or doing and indoor track.
Let's take Braylon Younger and say he has a Division I offer. Then he gets hurt in an event like this. So I like the sentiment, so it would be fun to see. I appreciate you calling in with your thoughts on that.
Would be a good charity fundraiser.
Yeah.
Same odds as Chick-fil-A opening up on Sunday is the odds. And a Pop-Tart comes in two. I mentioned Coach Whiteman throwing his Pop-Tart at Brad and Tony saying they're just as good as last year. The second Pop-Tart went against the wall. I mean, just to quickly on that, like Jim said, it's not going to happen. Coach Whiteman's responsibility is to do what's best for Frankfurt. Of course, as spectators, we would love to see it, especially these last couple of years. But, I mean, after the season – Brad is, you know, as a lawyer, there's insurance, there's liability. I just, there's no chance of that.
Thinking about the weekend, you know, with Dunbar having trouble getting here on time last night and fans wanting to see both games, how about Allegheny and Frankfurt last night and let Dunbar come up here on a Saturday where they don't have to be crazy trying to fight traffic to get here after school? And that might have satisfied everyone.
Do you know what the coach of Fort Hill would say?
We don't play on Saturday.
We play Friday nights. That's what he always says. We play Fort Hill plays Friday nights. So that's
all right. Caller, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, caller.
All right. Very good. Appreciate that. We have a couple minutes remaining here on Saturday Morning Quarterback.
Here's what I don't understand. You guys help me understand. Why can't there be two good programs, two great teams? Why is it one or the other? Why can't we be blessed by saying Fort Hill's great, Frankfurt's great? But if you say Fort Hill's great, you have to say they're better than Frankfurt or vice versa. I don't really sense that from the Frankfurt people, but I do sense that from the Fort Hill people.
Boy, you better believe it.
That if you say Frankfurt's a very good team, why don't they play Fort Hill? They can still be very, very good. You can still say that.
I think you're right. In my experience over Frankfurt, they've done a wonderful job of separating themselves out from all that conversation. We are what we are over here. We do well. We have a program, and they do. And year after year, they're highly competitive, and if I was them, I would do the same thing.
You know, and another thing, and you know, in people's heads, if you're not in Cumberland, it's, you know, we in Cumberland might be envious of Hagerstown or Frederick or other places. And then the smaller communities are like, oh, Cumberland. You know, you've talked to Frostburg people over the years. I mean, you think Roy DeVore had a great love of Fort Hill and Allegheny? I don't think so. You know, or Jerry Calhoun. It's just that kind of rivalry that takes place. And I'm sure people down the creek at Valley and Bruce weren't pleased with Bell over the years.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. Well, this was a fun, maybe informative show, but I know we had a good time, which is always the standard that we hold ourselves to on Saturday Morning Quarterback.
I think the rules went out, whatever they were, went out the window today.
With you reading whatever you read.
As a number.
Oh, that was my booth review.
I'm looking very forward to Allegheny Mountain Ridge next week.
I
think
too.
That's going to be a pick'em. And that's our game of the week.
Yeah,
I haven't sent the email yet.
Okay.
It's a game of the week.
We really don't know how good Mountain Ridge is, do we?
We don't. Northern and Hancock play on Thursday, too, by the way.
Ah, okay.
Ooh.
So get me your picks.
All right.
And Albert Gallatin's 4-0?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. All right, that is going to wrap it up for Garrett Egan, Mike Conley, Brad Reed, Tony Orndorff, and Roxione. This is Jim Zamias, and thank you, Chris Myers.
This has been Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC and by the Kensington Assisted Living on Baltimore Street in downtown Cumberland and the Country House, specializing in Alzheimer's and respite care, located on Cumberland Street in downtown Cumberland. Saturday morning quarterback.
One of America's great radio stations proudly serving the community since 1976. 1270 AM, WCBC Cumberland.
Also on the web at WCBCRadio.com. 10 AM, new cars, used cars, all available.